My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, it's game time, baby. I'm struggling today, man. It's a weird day.
Okay.
Yeah, dude, no, it's opening day.
It doesn't feel like it's opening day.
Baseball's my favorite sport, as you know.
Me too.
And I'm really happy that it's back, in large part because just the ebbs and flows of the MLB season mean that summer's almost here, and it means getting home from work and taking that midday nap between, you know, you've got Pirates, Mets on the TV. And you're going to nap through the fourth through seventh innings and pick that game up in the eighth. And it's just the best. It's just the sounds of it. And you got baseball on the radio when you're driving around. Crack of the bat. Smell of the grass. But it's just... it's not the same.
There's nothing better than going to the Coliseum and seeing the field pristine before the Raiders would come in and totally screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
But... just the grounds crew doing their work, watching the tractor pull around or the guys pull the dirt, circular motion all the way, and, you know, cleaning up after themselves, and the perfect cut of the grass going one way and the other way. There's nothing better.
Gonna miss it.
Yeah.
And that's what sucks about this, is trying to... separate the joy of, man, baseball. I will watch any baseball.
Yep.
You throw it on. There's games at noon today that I'm going to throw on my phone and listen to while I'm driving. Love listening to baseball, by the way. It's my favorite way to consume it. But then there's the A's side of this, and we all know what the deal is with the A's. Mm-hmm. This might be their last season in Oakland. They may be headed to Sacramento for a few years while they figure out their stadium in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And then once their stadium is built in Vegas, shovels aren't in the ground yet, but we're as close as you can get without shovels being in the ground, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be in Las Vegas. And that sucks. And I think navigating this feeling that I and I'm sure other A's fans are navigating now is just going to be the norm moving forward. Like, this is just how I can't not like the sport, right? I can't not watch it. I adore it. But it feels dirty in some way now.
I think
it feels gross.
I think I can shut it off. You know, I've talked about this. Like, what we do is, the way, like, I know my brain works is I'm always obsessed with sports. And whatever's going on, it's going through my mind all the time. I'm on Twitter. I'm reading things online. I'm tracking whatever, reading box scores, all that stuff. And when you do this job that we do, it's part of it. It becomes part of what you have to deliver every day, is that you have to saturate yourself with everything that's in the sports world, right? Mm-hmm. And that takes a toll on the people around you. You know, it's not easy, you know, to when you're celebrating your second anniversary, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But when you've got two kids and three dogs and
sure,
you're celebrating your 25th and you've asked somebody to like hang out while you watch something again,
mm-hmm.
It like there's only so much of that you can do. And like we give to our sports fandom and we mm-hmm. give and we give and we give. And at a certain point, I think that there's a betrayal that happens that's happening with the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
And with the commissioner of baseball and with ownership. And when that betrayal happens, I don't know that I will go back. If I'm sitting at a bar and there's a baseball game on, I'll look up. I'll give it some time.
Sure.
But the rest of it, like, and I've told you, like my bar at home is nothing but black and white photos of like everyone you can possibly think of, whether it's Mickey Mantle, Babe Ruth, you know, plenty of A's.
Eddie Lopat.
I don't know.
So not everyone I can think of.
Okay. I mean, I like Ernie Banks. I've got a, you know, like a picture of Pete Rose running over Ray Fosse at
sure.
home plate.
Sure.
Like the entire bar is filled with black and white photos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just tough. It's tough because I don't want to leave the sport, but I'm ready to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think a lot of fans are going out there tonight. They're going to be totally dissatisfied with what happens with the parking situation. The A's are going to make life as difficult as possible.
Yep.
They're going to mess with their fans even further. And I hope it doesn't get out of control. I hope that, you know, everyone keeps a cool head.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if I'm someone working there, just open the gate. Just go, sure, man.
Oops.
What are you going to do?
So there's
like, just wave them all in.
If you're not familiar with what's going on at the Coliseum tonight, there's a planned boycott by the fans.
Yes.
Where they're going to be in the parking lot, but not in the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to do a boycott from the state or from the parking lot. I'm fascinated to see how well this works. So, because it might just look, if there's still 12,000 people in there, because usually they do okay on opening day. If there's still 12,000 people in there, it's not going to look, it's just going to be like, oh, it looks like an A's game. But if you can really get it where there's 200 people in the stadium or whatever the number ends up being,
yeah,
everybody else is outside, I think that's a potentially effective maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
But what the A's have done, there's an event going on at the Oakland Coliseum, the Oakland Arena tonight as well.
Okay.
That the Coliseum shares a parking lot with. So what the A's are doing is waiting until 5 p.m., 2 hours before the game,
mm-hmm.
to open their parking gates, where there will be people trying to get to the A's game and people also trying to get to this event at the Oakland Arena. And Oakland officials are like, hey, can we not do that? Traffic on 880 sucks.
Oh, it's going to shut down.
It is going to be a disaster.
It's going to shut down 880.
If you're unfamiliar, 880 is the freeway that goes past the Coliseum. You take 98th or Hagenberger to get down to the airport. It is a main thoroughfare for every Bay Area commuter, both directions.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever driven on 880 and had it not be stopped at some point. Like, it's that type of, you know that section of Business 80 by Arden?
Mm-hmm.
Where you're heading into downtown and it's always slow there.
Always.
No matter what, 3 a.m. on a Tuesday, doesn't matter. There's cars stopped. It's like that all the time. And now you're adding two events and everybody trying to get off on these same exits.
Oh, yeah.
It is going to be a mess.
I told you, I left a Warriors playoff game at mm-hmm. the old arena.
Yeah.
And somebody shot and killed somebody on the freeway just as I'm getting on the freeway about a quarter mile up.
Mm-hmm.
I got stuck on the freeway until 4 o'clock in the morning, just sitting there.
Well, hopefully nobody gets shot and killed tonight.
From 11 o'clock until 4 o'clock in the morning, and then I had to drive home.
Oof.
From there. I didn't get home until 7.
Sure.
Oh, I was seeing shadow people and all kinds of weirdness.
It's the worst.
But, like, what they're going to do is gum up everything. And, like, look, take Bard in, do whatever you got to do. And the other thing I would say, there are people out there who don't have this same feeling about what's happening.
No doubt.
If people decide to go into the stadium,
mm-hmm.
let them do their thing.
Yeah, nobody's like, crossing picket lines here.
Yeah.
I know people who are like, hey, I'm an A's fan, whether they're here or Las Vegas or Kansas City or Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I'll just be an A's fan. And that's what, then do your thing, man.
Yeah.
Not what I want to do. But I certainly don't blame anybody for fanning.
No. Yeah. I just hope that that's the way that it goes tonight, that it doesn't become like a really awkward situation on the parking lot. And like, look, God bless A's fans for what they're doing and the boycott and everything else. I totally get it. And, you know, I was part of the Here We Stay movement here in Sacramento, and like all the things that went into that were wild and crazy. Mm-hmm. And like how much time and effort you put into something as like a passion project, you know, like these people aren't getting paid to go out here and organize all this stuff and do all of these things to try to keep the team. And it's really, really difficult to watch it and to like know that it's getting to the point where it's almost hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
And to still be positive enough to like, you know, show up and do what you think is right for your community.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. I see something happening in the chat right now. Something someone said. I don't want to call it out. Don't do that. Don't say stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Don't, just, if you're wondering if it's you, it probably is. We don't need to do all that.
No.
All right. Anyways, putting a pin in opening day for a bit. Chris Biederman going to join us at 10:30. Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee. Big A's fan. We can loop him in on this conversation. We'll talk Kings with him. We'll talk Niners with him. We still have a full plate of non-baseball stuff. Is it the Kings had a bad night last night? But hang on one sec. Bob Uecker is still the Brewers play-by-play broadcaster?
Not full time.
Okay,
but he's still part of it. Yeah, he's doing opening day.
Oh,
so they said last year he was there. He did some games, and then he was part of the celebration. Like he's in the locker room, like spraying beer everywhere and like having a great time at 89 years old. Last year, opening day today, he's 90. Like.
Unbelievable. What a legend.
Yeah, he is such a legend.
He played.
Yeah.
I believe he won a World Series.
Like 1964
Cardinals?
To 1967. He was like a backup catcher.
He won a World Series with the Cardinals? I think he did. But he was a Major League Baseball player who then became a longtime play-by-play broadcaster.
Uh-huh.
Not typical. Typically, you see color analysts, right?
Uh-huh.
Ray Fosse, former player, color analyst.
Yep.
Dallas Braden, former player, color analyst.
Yep.
Who else we got? Help me out.
Oh, there's a million.
Katie Christensen, former player, now a color analyst.
Well, like the Krukos and everyone else. Like,
yeah,
they're the color analysts.
Hey, Dwayne Kuiper played.
Okay,
remember he had one home run? No.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, Mike Kruko, color analyst. So for Bob Uecker to play 6 years in the majors, he did win a World Series in '64 with the Cardinals.
Okay.
So he played 6 years in the majors and then goes on to have this long career as a broadcaster. He's Harry Doyle from Major League.
Well, he's also
an iconic character in baseball movies.
He was on Mr. Belvedere for like, I think, over 100 episodes.
Why would he not be?
Yeah. Like, I don't know if you even remember Mr.
Belvedere. Not even a little bit.
Okay. So Mr. Belvedere was this American family hired a butler from England who comes in and is like he's not the father figure. Bob Uecker's the dad.
Uh-huh.
But he's like life lesson guy. And like, it's a sitcom from the 80s. Oh. And he's on it for over 100 episodes.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just an absolute legend. If you get a chance to listen to a Bob Uecker broadcast, do it. It is, if you're familiar with the movie Major League,
just a bit outside.
Right. And you've heard Harry Doyle. It's not exactly like that. It's not far off.
Yeah.
He does a really great job, and he's very entertaining and still doing it at 90 years old. That is It's pretty incredible.
It's amazing.
And just one of the things that feels, it's like, man, that feels really uniquely baseball to me.
Yeah. No, I think it is.
Yeah.
So. I mean, Gary Gerald is approaching 40 years with the Kings calling games.
Legend.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's amazing.
All right. Bad night for the Kings last night. Let's talk about it next. And okay, I'm sorry. I need to talk about Draymond Green for 2 minutes.
We can just blow an entire segment on it just because.
Well, hey, he's doing it for the content. He has a podcast out. We'll hear a clip from that. And we'll talk about his ejection last night from the Warriors, 101-93 win over the Magic. And then we'll talk about all the bad stuff that happened to the Kings last night, despite the fact that the Kings did not play. Tons of stuff coming up over the next couple hours. Stay locked in to the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Misunderstood what you were saying there.
Oh, yeah.
So Hasan Minhaj will not be at the Kings game. We have confirmed.
No.
Brutal. Brutal. I don't even know why they're playing.
Well, I mean, he is a very big Kings fan.
Oh, I am fully aware.
Yeah, I mean, and also a Davis grad.
Yes. I've spoken with him on the radio before.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why don't you get him on?
Because I don't know him like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a good show tomorrow.
I don't even know.
That's something we could do tomorrow.
I don't even know if I have a contact.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you do have a contact. I don't know.
I definitely don't. I do not.
Oh.
I'll talk to some people who know some people.
Okay.
I'll see what we can do.
All right.
That'd be fun. Bad night for the Kings last night. It's also opening day. Happy opening day to those who celebrate. Real quick, to put a pin in our conversation to put a bow on our conversation from earlier, I like the A's and Giants over win totals this year. I think the A's win total is like 56.5.
Oh,
they're going to be bad. I don't think they're going to be 105 losses bad.
What's the Giants win total?
83.5. Is that right? 84.5.
I'm not a Giants fan, but I will say that they usually put a pretty decent product on the field.
Yeah, dude, they're gonna hit more this year. I think they'll be able to get some outs. I really think where are we at? The San Francisco Giants. Really? Not gonna just lay them out for me?
Wow.
What a bunch of jerks over here. The Giants are +160 to make the playoffs.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got really okay. Cool, great, thanks. There we go. Projected win totals for the Giants: 83.5. After all that, I was right. So I'm going over that 83.5. I think they're going to pitch the heck out of the ball. I think they got a couple of guys who can actually hit the ball over the fence now, which is a pretty significant deal. So I like the overs on both of those teams. Bad night for the Kings last night. Here's who won in the West: the Warriors beat the Magic.
Oh.
The Lakers beat the Grizz. The Clippers beat the 76ers, sorta.
Oy vey.
The Rockets beat Oklahoma City. And the Suns beat the Nuggets.
Come on.
Because of course they did.
Come on.
Because why wouldn't they?
Because Michael Malone hates the Kings.
Take the night off, boys. Look at the standings. You know what I was shocked by the other night? How much De'Aaron Fox knows about the standings.
Okay.
Usually players are like, yeah, we don't pay attention to that. We're, you know, focused on our next game, da da da. But he's like, yeah, this was a huge game for us. You know, we were up 2-0 in the season series, and now it's 2-1, and now we need to get this win Friday because then it'll be 3-1. And then we have the tiebreaker because then it was like, oh my God, you know everything.
Yeah. De'Aaron Fox is actually really, really savvy when it comes to basketball.
Yeah. No, clearly.
Yeah.
Good basketball guy.
I remember early in his career, like, Dwayne Tickner told me, one of the assistants under Dave Yeager, he said, hey, yeah, I pulled him aside and said, hey, we need to go over your 7 turnovers from last night. He's like, okay, what do you want to know? He's like, well, let's just pull up the iPad and we'll go. He's like, no, I can, like, which turnover do you want to talk about? He's like, okay. He's like, I can walk you through each one if you'd like. And he's like, so this is a reason, this is what I did on this one play, and this is how I turned the ball over, and this is what I need to not do. And he just went through all 7 of them, and Tickner's like, I don't even need to pull up the video.
Right.
He knows every one of his turnovers, how it happened, why it happened, and how he can avoid it next time. It was like, oh, okay.
This game wasn't the most consequential for the Warriors, speaking of the standings, but Draymond Green got ejected, if you can imagine.
3 minutes and 35 seconds into
36,
the game?
36. Give the man some credit.
Okay.
336.
That extra second.
He's not a hooligan. No. Second night of a back-to-back for the Warriors.
Okay.
On the road. Jonathan Kuminga out. They are struggling.
Yep.
The Rockets are right behind them. They need this W.
Yeah.
And Draymond Green, supposed leader, supposed key cog in this team, supposed reformed, misunderstood guy, gets ejected 3.5 minutes into the game when they're already shorthanded in a game they need. And then he podcasted about it, if you can believe that. Here's what he said after the game. Here's Draymond Green.
I said what I said. I deserved to get kicked out at that point. And what I said, if I'm all the way honest with y'all, I kind of was trying to turn my body and angle and go to the bench. And I said what I said, like, a little too soon before angling my body to the bench. But, yeah, it just can't happen. And, you know, that, like, we need to win games. So, like I said, not going to overreact. Like, oh, man, like, stuff is never as good as it seems. It's never as bad as it seems. Like, I know where I am. I understand what I'm doing moving forward. And in my position, just make sure that that's the exception and not the rule. And so I said what I said.
Cool, man.
Kyle, there.
Thanks, Draymond.
That's not the exception. The rule is that he gets thrown out.
That's how it goes every time. This is a spot where he's supposed to be a leader on the team. Can he get ejected?
Kyle, first of all, he sat there and barked and barked and barked and barked and barked. And like, Fox and Monk picked up technicals in the game the other night.
Yes.
For saying something.
Yeah.
Like, that quick.
Yeah. It was.
You got Luka over there just like literally.
No doubt.
Like, yes. Like writing a sonnet.
Players are officiated differently.
Yes.
Draymond gets a long leash.
He's barking, barking, barking. Oh, and then I turned my back and called him a bleep and bleep and bleep.
I didn't turn my body enough. Like,
too
bro,
soon.
You were angled. Too soon. You were turned looking at that man in his face.
As if it makes it better. Oh, I thought like, I turned my back and he couldn't.
And there's no better visual for what that meant for Golden State. Like, forget that you hate Draymond for a second. Go be the Golden State Warriors. This is a player that you were relying on. This is a player that Steph Curry and Steve Kerr and everybody who matters in that organization has had this guy's back time and time and time and time and time and time. Hang on. And time 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 again.
Yes.
And time again. Again. And he does this in this spot where they badly need a win in Orlando. They are dragging through this road trip.
Oh, yeah.
They are dragging to the end of this season. And then you see Steph Curry so visibly frustrated that he is in tears. Not like sobbing, crying, but you could see it.
Yes.
And like, dude, do you understand what that means? And then to come out and have him be like, oh, I'm not going to overreact, like, da-da-da-da.
I know what the deal is. It's like, oh, you know what the deal is.
You don't.
What about that, like, stomp to the chest midway through the playoffs that
but that's
the
not
first
even,
round?
But that's not even, that is separate from all, like, I'm sorry, not separate. That is included in all this. That's packaged into all of this. That was the second playoff series that he's gotten ejected and booted for a game from.
Oh, of course.
And then you choke a guy out and you punch a guy in the face and he got suspended a million times and he's been very good since he came back. But in that spot, like, dude, nobody's better at being Draymond than me. Like, but to understand the situation a little.
He doesn't.
This is a guy lauded his high basketball IQ. He's so smart. And Kenny brought this up a few weeks ago and I tried to defend it. I'm like, well, no, he is. And blah, blah, blah. And maybe he is on the court. But that was stupid.
Oh, yeah.
And trying to defend it as anything other than that is asinine.
Yep.
That was dumb. Draymond can be a brilliant basketball player on the court, and I think when you look at his size and his what he can do athletically, or his limitations athletically, the fact that he's carved out the career that he has is remarkable. Cool. But this is bad. This is hurting the team actively again. They're going to miss a play-in tournament.
And this season alone, he's done more than 99.9% of all NBA players do in their entire career.
Ever.
Combined. Like, and this is where...
Combined.
Like, this is like when you're looking at, like, I think Warriors fans, and I think the Warriors, and I think Steph Curry and Steve Kerr, they fully have Stockholm Syndrome. They have been held, like, captive by this guy for over a decade. And when they're done with him, my goodness. Like, the feeling of just, like, the weight lifted off you is going to be extreme.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait.
Yep.
Can't wait. All right. Well, so we'll keep talking about a bad night for the Kings. Draymond podcasting after that is nuts. That's just so crazy to me.
Just go be that.
Lakers are right behind the Kings now. Clippers gain a half game. We'll talk about the Rockets, talk about the Suns. We'll do all that. Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee joins us next. We'll loop him in on that, on the bad night for the Kings. We can also talk some A's with him. We'll talk some Niners. Love talking with Chris, one of the homies. He'll join us next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Got a guy on Twitter bragging about watching 2 years of Jerry Jeudy targets.
Oh, that's painful.
That sounds like the top five worst way to spend the day. Yeah, what'd you do today? I watched some Jerry Jeudy targets.
That's not great.
Oof. Gross. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. And he's Chris Biederman, host of the wildly successful and immensely popular podcast, Candlestick Chronicles. You can check it out wherever you get your podcasts. He also does some writing for the Sacramento Bee. Chris, what's up, man?
Hey, how are you?
I am terrific. This is your debut on our program. And you mentioned to me a couple days ago, you were like, hey, I've never been on your show. So, I mean, it is what it is. We're not friends until you come on, I come on your show. I was like, all right, fine. Don't want this friendship to end. So you can come on whenever you'd like. And you're like, Thursday. And I was like, great. So here you are. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I mean, we've only done like, what, 600 or 700 podcast episodes together. But I'm glad we can finally be on the radio together.
Yeah.
And you know, expand beyond Candlestick Chronicles and you know, the legendary podcast that that's become.
Well, James and I have been talking a ton of A's today.
Yeah.
And just kind of trying to get our arms around the, you know, Lawrence Butler, your thoughts. No, just kind of what?
Yeah, that's a guy.
You're an A's guy. Where do you land on just this season, these next couple of seasons, and their kind of limbo that they're in before going to Vegas?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that there's a lot of merit to the buzz that's been happening. Asking around, it does sound like that it's headed in the direction of at least Sacramento being under serious consideration and or a push being made to come to Sacramento starting next year for the next 3 years, barring, you know, nothing falls apart with the Las Vegas stadium deal, which of course we can't rule out that either. I'm split on it. Like, it would be great to have Major League Baseball in Sacramento. I think it would be a lot of fun to be able to go to big league games. I just don't know how anybody could trust John Fisher to, you know, execute a deal and be a good tenant, right? Like, what proof do we have that John Fisher is going to be a good tenant? It's going to be a winning product. It's going to be something that that people in Sacramento like. I understand why Sacramento politicians, why Vivek Ranadive, it makes all the sense in the world for everyone here in town to push for a Major League Baseball team, because Sacramento, I believe, would be a great market. I think you could build a really cool Major League ballpark where Sutter Health Park currently stands. I don't think Sutter Health Park, as it currently stands, can be a Major League ballpark in the long run. But I think it's got a great footprint and it's in a great spot for a Major League ballpark. So, you know, all that being said, Major League Baseball would be great for the city. I just don't know how you can have any confidence that what John Fisher is selling at any level. And, you know, if he comes to Sacramento and then the Vegas deal falls apart, then what? You know, mm-hmm. what happens then? So is John Fisher somebody that Vivek Ranadive, the city of Sacramento, really wants to hitch their wagon to? You know, that's questionable, and we'll see how that goes down the line.
Yeah, I think that would be, Chris, that would be the perfect scenario, though, for Sacramento, is that they do come to Sacramento and then the deal falls apart. And then next thing you know, they can't go to Vegas and you can maybe sneak in and swoop the team. I don't know how that works. I don't know what John Fisher is going to want as far as like a purchase price, if he would ever sell in that scenario. But I think that that's why Vivek is doing this. There's a gamble here and you're taking it that, mm-hmm. number one, you can potentially steal the A's because, you know, Fisher is inept as an owner and one of the worst owners in professional sports history. And like nothing is secure with him. But I think also on top of that, you can show that you're a major league city and that there's potential for you to be able to house a team long term. And maybe if Major League Baseball does expand or there is another team out there that's looking for a new location and, you know, there isn't two teams in the Bay Area anymore, all of a sudden Sacramento becomes a lot more appealing. It is a great baseball town. There are a ton of Bay Area transplants. It's right on the river. There's a beautiful spot, and it's a beautiful weather city as well for baseball. And so I think there are a lot of pluses here. It's just, it does feel a little dirty, but I understand it.
Yeah, I agree. I just wonder, like, you know, it feels like a short-term thing sort of regardless, right? Like, if the Vegas deal falls through, more than likely John Fisher's going to have to sell. If he has to sell, who's going to be the best? Who's going to put the best bid together to buy the team? Is it going to be Vivek Ranadive? Is it going to be a group in Sacramento? I don't know that Sacramento is loaded with the type of financial capital that obviously a place like the Bay Area would have. And, you know, if you read the reports, there are a lot of people interested in buying the team in the Bay Area and keeping them in the Bay Area, including Warriors owner Joe Lacob potentially. So it's, you know, like I said, it would be fun. It would be novel. I wonder if, you know, we get to year two and year three of it and the A's don't have really any high quality major league talent and they're losing 100 games. Like, what's that going to be like at Sutter Health Park? Are people going to be going, or is the novelty going to wear off? And are people going to look at it as a failed experiment? I think on its face, obviously, it would be fun to have the big leagues in town in the short term. But to me, it doesn't, you know, it's John Fisher. It's not an expansion team. It's not a guy willing to, you know, spend hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars on top major league talent. It's a guy that's really can't get any deal done at any level. He hasn't paid a player since he gave Eric Chavez a contract in, you know, the early 2000s, whenever that was. We can't even remember. Right. Like that's it's just kind of a disaster of an organization from an ownership perspective. And, you know, I think there's plenty of risk in tying your boat to that guy.
Chris Biederman in the Sacramento Bee joining us talking just, I don't know, whatever the heck we're talking about. Let's shift gears and talk about the Kings real quick.
Yeah.
What did you make of the loss on Tuesday night? And does it do you think there will be any long-term ramifications from a 36-point home loss to the Mavs?
Yeah, not really. I think, you know, obviously it hurts in the standings, and the Kings are doing all they can to avoid the play-in. I think, in my opinion, you know, the Kings are going to go as far as De'Aaron Fox, and ultimately Malik Monk takes them, right? Or unless Keegan Murray decides to step up and be a guy who's scoring 25 points a game. And the Kings need secondary scoring, and as good as Domantas Sabonis is, you know, rebounding the ball and getting assists and being a hub for the offense, he's not a go-to scorer in the fourth quarter of games. And what they need is they need De'Aaron Fox to you know, be efficient, to score 30, 35 points in these big games. And they need secondary scoring. And maybe that's a night where, you know, they hit 15 threes as a team and shoot 45%, and Harrison Barnes is scoring 16 points and Keegan Murray is scoring 18, and it's a group effort, which we've seen plenty over the last couple of years. But more often than not, when the Kings are winning big games, it's getting a 25-point game from Malik Monk off the bench. It's De'Aaron Fox scoring 30 and then, you know, scoring 15 in the fourth quarter, right? Like that's kind of the Kings formula. Mm-hmm. And I just think right now, particularly with the injuries, you know, Kevin Huerter hurts their depth. His injury hurts their depth, obviously. Not having Trey Lyles is, you know, I think he's one of their most important bench players. And he's really the only non-guard, non-center that they play off of their bench. I think that's one of the biggest flaws with this Kings roster. They don't really have a backup small forward. You know, their first three guys off the bench are Davion Mitchell, Malik Monk, Chris Duarte right now, and those are three small guards. And then you have Alex Len. And so it's a lot of small lineups. And for the Mavericks, who at the trade deadline went and got PJ Washington and Gafford, you know, they got a lot longer. And I know the Kings beat them two times earlier in the season, but that was before the trade deadline, before they got those guys. And so, you know, you look at the West, and Mike Brown has talked about it a lot. There's a lot of size in the West, and the Kings are one of the smallest teams in the conference, particularly without Trey Lyles, who can play small ball center and is their biggest forward they have in their rotation. So, you know, they're going to go as far as De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk scoring takes them. I think you know what you're going to get from Domantas Sabonis. I think the defense this month has been really encouraging, and I'm curious to see if that's going to be something that lasts over the long run. I think they're fifth or sixth in defense since March, which is a far cry from, you know, when they were in the early 20s throughout most of the season in defensive efficiency. So they're closing out on the three ball better. They're getting deflections a lot better. Keon Ellis has provided them something that, you know, when we talked about the Kings at the trade deadline, a 3-and-D guy is something we all said the Kings needed. Well, they're getting that from Keon Ellis, I think, at even a higher level than any of us could have expected. So that's been a really positive development. But overall, it's a small team, and they kind of lack scoring when Malik Monk and others aren't providing that in addition to what De'Aaron Fox brings. So the Kings will go as far as their secondary scoring takes them, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that losing Trey Lyles has been a tremendous thing. And not only that, but it also hurts that Sasha, while Trey Lyles is out, you know, is also out. I mean, that's a problem. Because he is another guy who could at least stretch the defense and at least space the floor and give you some shooting from that position. And it really, when you lose these three players that they have, it's like 6'7", 6'8", 6'8". It's all of your 3 and 4 depth. Yeah. And so it really does come down to what does Keegan Murray do and what does Harrison Barnes do? And hey, we got to have you guys play 35 minutes a night because we ain't got nobody else. And I think that that is the flaw to the roster, and it's something that has to be addressed. What do you think that this summer is going to look like for them? Because it does feel like, you know, we just went through not only a trade deadline last year where it was only Kessler Edwards, then we go through an offseason where they don't address the situation of the undersized 3 and 4. We get to the trade deadline, they don't go at the position as well. And at this point, I'm not sure that, that's still on the table. Like, what are they going to do at that position?
Yeah, that's a really great question, because it does feel like their assets are kind of limited, because, you know, I don't know that Monty McNair is really somebody who wants to depart with draft picks. So that'll be an interesting question. And you know, would the team ever move on from Keegan Murray? Are they going to be able to sign Malik Monk, who could potentially get more money from another team, like, say, Orlando elsewhere? Being in Orlando over the weekend and hearing, you know, the media there talk about how perfect Malik Monk would be for them, and, you know, knowing that they could potentially offer more than the Kings could, has to be kind of a scary thought, because if you lose Malik Monk, that's going to be a really difficult guy to replace. But on the other hand, it will give you a little bit of financial flexibility in the long haul, because, you know, you're looking at what, a $22 million a year contract from Malik Monk, 25 maybe. And then when you have to pay Keegan Murray after next season, are you, you know, are you approaching the tax? Are you willing to go into the tax if you're Vivek Ranadive for this team, right? Like, some owners are willing to go on the tax if they're guaranteed, you know, home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs every year. For a team that's struggling to make the play-in, do you want to go into the tax for that? I know, you know, that's a conversation being had in Warriors land right now. Are they going to try to get cheaper in the offseason because it's not a true contending team, right? So it'll be fascinating. Maybe they can swing something. I know the team loves Keegan Murray and loves the trajectory that he's on. And he, to me, would seem like the biggest trade asset that they could potentially have, because it doesn't seem like this is going to be a team that's going to be picking high in the lottery anytime soon when it comes to, you know, the draft picks in the future that you might be thinking about trading away. So, you know, I think that the Kings, you know, I mentioned their secondary scoring. It feels like for them to take the next leap, it's going to be, you know, Keegan Murray ascends to an all-star type level, or they go get an all-star type player. And, you know, the it's hard to get those guys. And I'm not entirely sure what that looks like. Do they, you know, I know it's sacrilegious to bring up, do they look at Domantas Sabonis's future and say, you know, this is going to be our second, or, you know, after De'Aaron Fox eventually gets his next contract, which I think will happen within the next couple of years, and Domantas Sabonis is the team's second highest paid player, is the team going to look at it and say, we want this guy to be our second highest paid player, or do we maybe try to cash him in for other assets for more depth, right? Is that something that's ever going to come up with inside that organization? I'm not saying it is. I know they love Domas. Obviously, Domas has made it very clear that he loves Sacramento. But when you look at that contract and you look at, you know, $40 million a year for potentially, you know, your second highest paid player, you know, what's that look like in the long term in terms of allowing this team to get to that next level of becoming a contender in the Western Conference? And so, you know, I think a lot of balls are up in the air. I think it all starts with Malik Monk. Does Malik Monk come back? And then, you know, you kind of got to go from there. But I do wonder, you know, the Kings have been very focused on internal growth. Do they look at it the same way this offseason where, okay, Keegan Murray is going to take a step for us and we don't need to make any major additions because that's going to be the way we get better? That's certainly plausible. Or are they going to say, no, we need to shake this thing up. We need to, you know, we need to shake the snow globe a little bit and reset. And maybe that means some big changes are coming. Kings are very quiet when it comes to their thinking and all that stuff. And so it's hard to say, but I think a lot of it is in the air for sure.
Talking with Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee, what's your feel, and James, I guess I'll direct the same question to you, what is your guys' feel on, if any, on Malik Monk and whether he's going to stay or whether he goes this offseason?
Yeah, James, correct me if I'm wrong. I think he can get more. The max amount he can get from another team is more than the Kings can offer.
Yeah, the best the Kings can do is $17.4 million starting salary of a 4-year $78 million deal around there. And he has to at least play 2 years of that deal. So you can't even do an opt out like after year one. So he'd have full Larry Bird rights. It's going to be tough because a team like Orlando, and also I'm going to throw Toronto. I think people keep ignoring Toronto. Like Toronto came at him at the deadline when they were talking Siakam deals. And, you know, that's part of what we're hearing of maybe why the deal fell apart outside of the fact that Siakam really didn't want to play in Sacramento. So when it comes to the money, there are probably a handful of teams that can pay him. It just depends on whether he wants to go there, whether he likes the situation better. And look, it sure does look like Orlando probably has a starting point guard position. So it's not going to be easy. But I also think there are a lot of things that tie him to Sacramento. The opportunity, the way he's been sort of developed and like his game has been fostered here. And so I think it's going to be a really interesting summer for these guys. And like, look, you don't have a lot of cap space if he does leave. That, I mean, it doesn't help you if he leaves because you're already over the cap for next season. So it's not like you can just go out and replace him. And that's going to be tough.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I agree. Like, yeah. He likes it here. He obviously likes playing with Fox. He obviously has a good dynamic with Mike Brown. So will he take a discount for that? I think that's a big question. I would lean towards no. Like, if he wins Sixth Man of the Year, you know, I think there's going to be a sizable difference in what he can get in the open market versus what the Kings can pay him at that 17.5 a year mark.
Chris Biederman, Sacramento Bee, also a host of the Candlestick Chronicles podcast. Chris, I wrote a mock draft. I know you read it, and I want your thoughts.
How good is his mock draft?
I had the 49ers.
Mitchell falling a little further than he might. You know, I'm just interested in what you think.
Yeah, I mean, that's a guy that the 49ers can certainly add to their roster in terms of what they're going to do in the draft. I definitely think adding a guy in the first round is going to be part of their prerogative.
Yeah.
I'm just playing with you. Look, like,
diving the NFL
draft. The 49ers, in my mind, are going to do one of three things. They're going to sit at 31 and take the best defensive lineman available that fits what they like to do. They're going to identify an offensive tackle that they end up trading up for because there's going to be a lot of demand and a lot of good tackles early in the first round. Or the big curveball, they trade up for a receiver and they give themselves a long-term option if and when they inevitably split up the Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel tandem probably after next year. I don't think Brandon Ayuk's getting traded this year. I think Deebo Samuel might be out. Next offseason, Deebo Samuel is going to be a big topic, so maybe they end up going receiver and adding some talent to that room.
Sorry, Chris. I've got people in my window here because it's opening day today, FYI. And we all...
In which sport?
Baseball. In Major League Baseball, okay. Opening day.
Gotcha.
and there is a spirit day in the office where everybody except James... is wearing clothing of their favorite major league team, and they're standing in the window because they want to take a picture. And they're all looking at me, making the camera sign, and I'm trying to tell them how much time we have left in the segment.
I mean, we're literally doing a radio show, and people at the radio station think it's appropriate.
And now Kim is standing here, just staring in the window like, dude, that's not going to make the clock go faster.
Kyle is not a puppy, Kim.
Photoshop me in.
He is not a puppy. Stop staring through the window at him.
Come on.
Anyways. Weird things are happening.
Do you want me to just... I can do a soliloquy on how pop passes should be considered rushing plays.
You hate the pop pass so much.
Instead of passing plays, will you guys go take your picture?
No, you shut your mouth. That's because I have Patrick Mahomes in fantasy football.
Oh, dude, you're just cooking with Mecole Hardman on this.
That's right. Yeah, that's my play, bro. That's my jam.
I got more people staring. I hate this so much.
Chris, I can take this.
Yeah,
Chris,
please help me, Jim.
Friday night, just what are you expecting from this Kings
team?
That's
exactly what I was going to ask.
What are you expecting from this Kings team? Because I have no idea. I've covered this team forever. And this year in particular, I just don't know. I don't know. We'll talk about it later, but they're on this streak where they win two, lose one, win two, lose one, win two, lose one, win two, lose one for the last 15 games. They just won two. Yep. They lost one. And what are we going to see on Friday night?
I think we're going to see a much better Kings performance. It wouldn't surprise me if they win by double digits. I do think they have a way of bouncing back. They obviously needed a couple days off. It was a long trip. Or not a long trip, but a long trip in terms of, you know, the distance that they covered going to Toronto and D.C. and Orlando, playing five games in seven nights. So this is the last time before tomorrow's game, the last time this season they're going to have 2 days between games. I think they're going to stew on it a little bit. And it is a big game, and you know, it's you know, kind of feels like what the Kings experienced Thursday in D.C. Not that there's a whole lot of comparisons to make between losing and to the worst team in the NBA and losing to the Mavericks right now, who are red hot. But the takeaway is that it was one of their worst losses of the season. It was a really tough performance, and they bounced back in a really big way with a lot of intensity and a team performance in Orlando that gave them one of their biggest wins of the season. So I think they have that element of being able to bounce back in them, and I'm expecting them to win Friday and potentially win comfortably, particularly if they hit a bunch of threes like the Mavericks did on Tuesday.
Chris Biederman, he writes for the Sacramento Bee. He podcasts for Candlestick Chronicles on the Blue Wire Podcast Network with me. Shout out to you, man. Appreciate you, buddy, and we'll do this again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
See you, Chris. Yeah, there he goes. Chris Biederman, my man. Popular in the chat.
I haven't been reading the chat.
Oh, but I've been locked in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. When it's people talking trash about the homies, I gotta
you're locked into that. You're locked into the people out.
Yeah,
here,
dude, I did everything except pay attention to our radio program.
That's funny.
No, I want to address something he brought up in the next segment about trading Domantas Sabonis, because I think it got a little bit misconstrued there.
I want to talk about that because there's some conversations not around the team, around the media in Sacramento about that question. And I think it's a very interesting topic to take on.
Great. We'll do that next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.